destiny is all I need to prevail.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
This is the Johnny English Show.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that may not at present or in the future ever exist. That is near insanity. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice.
Stop being afraid.
Let's hear some excellence in broadcasting.
This is the Johnny English Show. Welcome. Welcome back, Nick. The voice is back in studio, folks.
Oh, thank you. Great to be back.
Yeah, I missed you, man.
I just tried to do that as deep as I could.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. It is Sunday once again. Sunday, fear-free Sunday. We'll start some kind of new banner or something. We'll have a... You almost spit your pop all over your computer there. Fear-free Sunday, everybody.
Fear-free. Sunday.
Yeah, it's June 22nd, 2014. And we are live right here from the Red Carpet Studios in glorious Davenport, Iowa, broadcasting on truthfrequencyradio.com. I'm getting all the plugs out.
Yeah. I'm just giving them the weather and the wind speed.
It's
about high of 76 today. The wind coming out of the north.
Yeah, I'll just leave that to you. You've got to do something. I can't do all of it, sir.
That's my job. Yeah.
Please go check out the archives. We're getting our archives slowly built up. We have right now two or three shows under our belt here on Truth Frequency, and you can check out last week's show with Joni Abbott. She was here in studio with us in lieu of Nick the Voice, and she's like the female voice. She's like the female version of the voice. She's got that female voice. She does a lot of voiceovers.
Only she talks more.
And she does. She talks. She can talk, man.
The pop filter's still wet.
Well, it takes some stuff off me. I can just sit and listen, you know, every once in a while. But anyway, and of course, the week before that, Adam Armstrong was on from Rebel Inc. You can check out those. And then our glorious first show right here that was about half the show on the first half hour. And then we finally got things worked out, at least to where we could both talk for the rest of the show, even though Nick couldn't hear everything. But still, it worked out okay. Now we've got things kind of worked out. I just bought a new board, and I'm slowly trying to work things out. So if I don't sound the same, if we don't sound the same for whatever reason, that's why. We're slowly getting things worked out, and eventually things will be much greater, much better, much gooder than it was before. I want to welcome today very, very, very cool guest that we have, and we've been trying to hook up with this guy. Actually, he's been trying to hook up with us, and we just when I was doing Broken Man Radio, and of course we've finally got it to where we can do the show and have him as a guest. I've been wanting him on the show for quite a while. But Ole, hopefully I can do this right. Please, Ole, please be nice. Ole Domagord, is that right?
That is super, super perfect.
Yeah, okay. I got a feeling it's not, but that's fine. You know, I'm sorry. I apologize, sir. It's Ole Domagord.
It sounds excellent.
Okay. Well, see, here in America, we have that the first name, Ole, the way you spell it, there happens, and I don't want to get off into some sort of professional wrestling deal with my partner here, or my co-host, not my partner, my co-host.
Yeah. Hey.
But that name is usually pronounced Ole here in America.
Yeah, but that's fine as well.
Well,
the thing is, I was born in Denmark. I lived in Sweden, England, Iceland, and now I live in Spain where it's ole, ole, ole.
Oh, okay.
You know, so whatever with three letters starting with an O, I will answer.
So when they play that song, like, what is it they play that ole, ole, ole? Do you, like, turn your head? Do you just look around? And
do you know Shake and Wake, Rick and Annie? They play every time I'm on, they play that song, first of all.
I know Rick and Annie very well. Very cool people, indeed. And, Let me finish out here. The website for Ole, if you want to get all of his stuff, is lightonconspiracies.com. Lightonconspiracies.com. And there you can get his book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, where he's just a brief explanation of that book, sir.
I spent about 30 years looking into major assassinations, terror acts, false flag operations, and so on. And this book is about, it's more than 1,000 pages long. I don't want to bore people with a lot of writing, but it's about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, but with all the connections into the Iran-Contras, into even the JFK assassination and so on. It's very intertangled on an international level. It was not a Swedish assassination. It was a hit, one of many done by the same power elite that are trying to rule the world today, and by the same small team of assassins that they've used since the early 60s and onwards, the same core group people. So it's, even though the main theme is about a Scandinavian assassination, it is very much involved with the whole American scene and the European scene as well.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. You've done hundreds of radio shows. I see here on your site, you've done tons of radio shows on tons of different networks across the world. You've just recently you're getting recovered from an attack on your own website. You know, you're starting, obviously when you start getting attacked like that, you're obviously uncovering something you shouldn't be uncovering, or at least they say that. I do, even though some people have to go through this, hopefully it doesn't, keep people from doing what they're doing, and they just keep promoting more and trying to get out there as much as possible, write as much as possible, and show these elitists, we mean business, and we're not playing around here. We're trying to get them exposed and trying to wake people up as much as possible.
I tell you, like I say, I've done this for 30 years. I've had two friends murdered. I left Sweden because I felt threatened, and they're hard hitting. You know, it's not a game for wimps. At the same time, I think this is a super exciting time to be alive, because there's such an incredible awakening going on in Europe and in, I would say, in the States as well, where people are popping up everywhere on a weekly basis, just waking up and just seeing suddenly like, oh my God, what is going on? And suddenly they can see how totally out of balance it is, and then start to wake up to the fact that somebody is trying to screw us, really, and big time, and waking up and seeing different ways of how to make it stop.
Well,
and that is why I'm going to continue as long as I can.
Well, that's one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand is they're so deeply embedded in their personal lives, their daily ins and outs, and whatever they're doing, they get involved with social media and television, movies, and music, and all these other different things that are there to kind of distract us and keep us away from the truth. I think it's nice to see that some people are slowly waking up. We might not get the mass awakening that we're looking for, but one by one, we will, do what we can to wake people up, even if literally if it's one person at a time. That's kind of the whole thing. And then hopefully that person tells another person, and it just kind of spreads, like wildfire. And that's what we're doing here at Truth Frequency. I think what's very nice, Chris Geo has given us all the opportunity here on Truth Frequency Radio, no matter what your belief system is. And we kind of got into this on Hangar 18 last night, where we have differing, Chris and I have differing opinions on religion and things like that, but we're able to come together for a common cause, which is we're all fighting the same people. We're all trying to get to the same goal. We might take different routes getting there, but I think we all have the same goal in mind. We just have to figure out a way to get there,
I totally agree. It's like there's an old yoga saying that says, truth is one, paths are many. And it's sort of like, I really feel we want the same end result. We want a beautiful mankind united, but, and without being bullied by this small but so-called very powerful power elite who is trying to turn this beautiful world into an awful, very scary and totally controlled one fascist state, world state. And one thing that I really like what you said there is that I think there's so much energy spent on internal discussions and conflicts, you know, around 9/11 or truth movement and all of these things. It's so stupid of us if we start, you know, making quarreling within our own ranks instead of focusing on who is the big problem, the real problem that we need to solve. And this is also very much made by design. You know, they almost like provocateurs, they enter into the truth movement and so on with people starting to spread, to divide. It's an old Roman tactic, you know, rule and conquer by division, you know, to divide. So I think just like you and your companions there, different opinions about different things. For sure. I mean, I do a lot of work with Professor Jim Fetzer around the JFK assassination and so on. We totally disagree on some things, and fine. I try to learn everything I can from him. He's very open to learn from me. And then with the different jigsaw puzzles we give to each other, then we slowly make the picture more and more complete. So I think, you know, let's learn from each other. Let's join. Let's not, and focus on where the real problem is that we need to solve.
It's funny you bring that up, because you were just recently, you actually went down to or up to wherever, depending on what direction you had to travel. You had to go to Bilderberg 2014. Now, those of you out there that don't know what Bilderberg is, if you just Google search it, you'll find it, or whatever search engine you want to use. You can find out all about Bilderberg and who kind of is a part of it, how it started, when it started, why it started. And this has been kind of flaunted in front of us, Ole, I don't know, when the truth movement first kind of started gaining some ground, and you had certain people that are kind of more mainstream, and they made a huge deal out of this, and they would show up at these events, and they would stand outside the gates with bullhorns or whatever, and they're screaming at these people as they're going inside and out. What's your take on Bilderberg? Why did you go there, and what did you think you would accomplish, and what did you accomplish?
The Bilderberg Group was created in 1954 in Hotel Bilderberg in Oosterbeek in Holland. It was created by a small group, the same people from the same power elite that were behind financing both world wars. You will see if you start studying history, which I think is essential to really understand what is going on, and to see how these different people have been, some of these families have been working for generations on concentrating power, the power of the world, to fewer and fewer people, to get it more and more concentrated. And this, one of the parts of this global elite group, it's like a power pyramid. And way up in the top, I'm not saying the absolute top, but way up in the top, there are a number of groups. One of them is the Trilateral Commission. One is the Council on Foreign Relations. Another one is the Committee of 300, and a fourth one is the so-called Bilderberg Group. Many of the people in these groups are members in more than one group like this. But like I said, this was created in 1954, not long after the Second World War. And it was with royal and Nazi roots, these people gathered. And the agenda with this group was to invite key people from all the different NATO countries and, you know, Western European and the States, more, that was the focus, but inviting key people from each and every country so that you, by controlling just a handful of people in a country like Sweden, Germany, Belgium, Holland, these not massive countries, with like 15, maybe 10, 15, 20 people, with the people in the key positions in society, you could more or less control that country and push your agenda, your hidden agenda, on that country. And this is what they've done very efficiently since 1954, all the way up here. I mean, we're talking 60 years that this has been part of a hidden world government, I would call them, like the hidden hand that are working behind the scenes without you understanding and knowing what is going on. And I and other researchers have spent many, many years, decades, some of us, to try and uncover who are the members, what is the agenda, and where are these meetings taking place? Because it has been super secret for a long, long time. So many people have,
Olay, when did the first, I guess, when did they first get exposed? And when was the first, the first year that, you know, somebody really tried to awaken people to what they were doing?
No, this has been going on for 30 years. I mean, I've heard of them in the late 80s. That was the first time I became aware of them. But there were already people who were really trying to expose them at that point. But the year when it actually went totally open, because they couldn't keep it hidden before any longer, that was 2013, last year, when they had a meeting in Watford, just outside London, at a hotel there. And then they tried to deny the existence of this group, but then it was just impossible. So then they changed the tactics, and instead they invited media and the truth movement and so on to a fenced-in area about a kilometer down the road from where they actually.
So now you have your own area. Now they have an area just for the alternative media.
Yeah. It was totally fenced in, controlled by police, armed police, helicopters, all of these type of things. That was 2013. And I just want to mention also that just before it happened, you know, these false flag operations, every single one that I looked into, and they are so many, every single one I've been able to track it back to this power elite where the Bilderberg Group is a major part of it. And because these false flag operations are inside jobs made to either help push forward their own agenda by creating a problem to get a reaction from the public so that they can come with their agenda. Or if that is not the reason for the false flag operation, then it's diversion. That is, these are the two main things they try to do with these false flag operations. And just before last year's Bilderberg Group, when the whole media was suddenly starting to look at, my God, what is this group? I mean, we've never heard of them. Is it really true? So quite a few were on their way to England to be part of covering this meeting. And then, boom, just a few days before, then this so-called beheading in Woolwich. Can you remember that one? There were two black... North Africans that apparently it is absolute baloney. That whole story is, I sometimes do interviews, 2-hour interviews just about that thing, because it's so, once you start seeing how the whole thing was set up and how badly it was carried out, but totally efficient, because most people to this very day think that it was an actual thing that happened. It was a total film set, staged event just to take the attention away from the Bilderberg
movement. We might have to have you back on sometime. We'll just talk about that for the entire show. That's very, because I, you know, when I first saw that story, it was, you know, and then I started looking through the evidence and all that. And you see the guy walking, you know, it's just a lot of different things. I don't want to get too heavy into it right now because I want to do this other stuff. But definitely we'll have you back on at some point in time. It seems like you're well-versed in a lot of different subjects. We might have to do this, you know, we'll kind of go back and go through all this again.
Listen, Johnny, anytime, anything I can do to make a difference for the better, I'm right there. Count me in. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, I'm right there.
Very cool.
And this Woolwich thing, the reason why that is one of the things I talk about, that's one of the topics, it's because once you start seeing how they pull off these false flag operations, I often go into very great details of almost how they use templates on how to commit a thing like this, blame it on a lone crazy individual or a lone crazy group that they want to blame the whole thing on, and then how they dupe the population into believing that it was the work of a lone crazy nut, instead of that it was actually an inside job doing their absolute agenda, you know, fulfilling whatever it is. And the thing that their agenda is always the same. It's to gain more control, more militarized police, to take away our liberties, to take away our civil rights, to get more and more surveillance, less and less weapons in the population and so on. The same thing. They just, it's like, you know, if you've seen Rambo 1, 2, 3, 4, now we're up in Rambo 18 almost. They can't really change the theme anymore, because they're trying to accomplish the same thing again and again and again and again and again. So it's getting very, very sloppy. And this is why sometimes I expose this Woodish thing, because there it's so obvious once you start looking into the details.
Well, what little I got into it, it was very strange. It was a really weird type of incident. And then you start looking through all the evidence against it being a real event, and you're like, wow, this is crazy. And this is happening every day, Ole. I mean, literally all over the world, there's these weird events. So, it's, you know, how do they expect us to fall hook, line, and sinker for every little thing? And it's come to the point now where we have to question every single event that we see. Everything that comes over the television set, everything that comes over the internet, we have to question. You cannot fall for all of this stuff. You've got to really do your own research. And that's where a lot of people have an issue, Ole, is they will not do their own research. They will sit and listen and believe everything that some makeup clad person on TV with, if it's a woman, she's got her, you know, boobs pushed up to her chin. And if it's a guy, he looks like a Ken doll, and they're sitting there and they're telling you this stuff, and people believe them, and it's crazy that they won't do their own research. It's really irritating.
God is in the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
This is done by design as well. But the thing is that this is why I focus on, instead of going into details about every single occurrence, I go into the templates, exposing the templates they use, so that the next time something like this happens, you will be able to see the signs, like step 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my God, they're doing it again. You know, next week, step 1, 2, 3. Oh my God, it's happening again. Then you don't need the details anymore, because then you can see, oh, they're just following the template. So, and at the moment, their agenda is the scare of the week. You know, they're trying to do it on a weekly basis. I'm sure that there's only one per week. There's not two, 1 week and then 1 week without. If it follows, they're very not imaginative, these people. So it's a weekly scare. That's what the agenda says. And it boom, 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 very, very regularly. And it's to divert the attention so we do not have time to look into them. And that we will start fearing the whole world, you know, think it's absolute crazy and it's filled with crazy people running around shooting innocent people. I tell you, folks, it is not. We live in a beautiful place with a small bully that is trying to absolute terrorize the neighborhood. Now I'm talking globally. So this is why I put myself on the line. I risk my life, whatever it takes, to expose this small group. Because it's only a very small group. You know, there are a couple of thousand, maybe 3, 4 in total. We are 7 billion people. So it's an absolute joke that we're letting them do this to us.
Do you think there's really 7 billion people on this planet, Ole? And here's why I asked that question. We've got about 2.5 minutes left before the break, our first break here. But so I don't know how much time you're going to need. But and I was just talking about this with my wife. If we sit and think about this, there was a huge population explosion. It took so many years, thousands of years, to get up to, let's say, 2 or 3 billion people. Then all of a sudden, just in the last 20, 30 years, this a gigantic population explosion. And it kind of, there's a problem that their agenda, the Agenda 21, you've got all these different things where they want to, you know, regulate the population and all that. It seems like they're failing miserably at controlling the population if our population has doubled in just a short amount of time? Or do you really think there's that many people on this planet?
they say that we're twice as many now as when John Kennedy was killed. That is what the statistics say. I did not go around and count people myself. I have absolutely no idea. I know that there's so much false information out there that they try to pump down our throat, push it down our throat to justify their agenda, and they want to depopulate a lot of us.
Right.
So I would not be surprised if they're using these numbers to make the problem look so much bigger.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is it's hard to believe anything that anyone says anymore, Ole. I mean, seriously.
I totally agree.
Anything a scientist, you know, when science comes out, there's some new fact or whatever. And, just about all everything I was taught in school, Ole, has been proven to be wrong when it comes to history and science and things like that.
Do you know, it's like my wife, she gets really annoyed with me because when she tells me something, she read something somewhere, really shocking, and she tells me, and I say, well, if it's true, that is really shocking. And she said, you can't keep saying if it's true, you know. And I say, how can I know? I have absolutely no idea about what you're talking about. Telling me you have read it somewhere, that doesn't make it true.
Right.
You know? Or on Facebook, just because there's a photo with a quote next to it, anyone can do a bit of Photoshop work. Does not mean that it's true.
Oh, I know. I know about Photoshop.
Yes, so do I. And you can put together photos. You got like people shaking hands, and just because they shake hand, I mean. Do you know they have like somebody shake the hands with a pope, and then suddenly that makes
it. Hold on. Let me hold you up right there. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Ole Domagoj. This is the Johnny English Show.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at hempusa.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN.
worldwide.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link.
With Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday, on True Frequency Radio.
This is the Johnny English Show right here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Welcome all across the world to all the listeners and all the great people that take time out of their busy, busy schedules to listen to us banter whenever we get a chance. And we get a chance right now once a week, and we might expand that at some point in time. I wouldn't mind doing one other show at least. In a week's time, maybe do two shows a week. We might, at some point in time, we might work that out. Hopefully it'd be really, really nice if we get more guests on like we have today. Ole Damagord. And eventually I'm going to screw that name up. Ole's easy. The other part is the one that I say it too fast so that I, you know, if I screw it up, it doesn't sound too bad. And I don't want to insult our guest because he's a great, great guy. He's done a lot of research and he's a very, very nice guy. Again, we've been trying to hook up for at least a year's time when I was doing Broken Man Radio, and we were so happy to have him on today. Go over to his website when you get a chance, lightonconspiracies.com. It's LIGHT, lightonconspiracies.com. And you can check out all the research that he has done, purchase his book, and all that good stuff, and see what he's accomplished in his time here on this little ball we call the Earth, ball floating through space.
At a high rate of speed.
At a very high rate of speed, yes. Spinning and all that good stuff. We're doing all kinds of crazy things here on this rock. Ole, real quick, we'll finish off a little bit what you did. You were at Bilderberg this year, 2014. Just real quick, because I know my co-host here, Nick, the voice, he wants to, get into the JFK thing. He's itching to have some questions answered. He's, scratching like he has a rash. And I want to make sure he gets his questions answered. Now, I already know. I already kind of have my ideas. I know there's been several ideas about JFK, why he was assassinated. I think it's another one of the deals. It was like 9/11. It solved several of their problems in one fell swoop. But anyway, Bilderberg 2014, you were there, and just real quick, just to kind of finish it off, what did you witness? And was it kind of a deal where they're allowing it now? Do you really think the people that we were told are inside, or that you were told were inside, were actually there? Did you actually see some of these people go in?
Listen, Johnny, is it okay if I spend a few minutes talking about this? Because this is very essential what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And sorry to your co-host, I'll be right with him in a few minutes here.
Yeah, settle down, Nick. I'll wait.
The thing is that, normally these meetings are held in secluded areas, you know, very luxurious hotels, five-star, most of the time owned, or I would say all of the time owned by members of the elite group and so on.
Okay.
And what they normally have is they have a lot of security, you know, armed police, sometimes military, helicopters surrounding, snipers, these type of things, bomb sniffing dogs. And then
do they go in ahead of time, like when the president comes to town, and they come in like a few days in advance to do a sweep?
Location.
Yeah, do like a sweep.
That is normally what they should do. I'm not saying they always do that, but this is what has happened in many areas, especially now when it's getting more and more exposed. And then they arrive in these black limos, you know, they come in a long row, jung, 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 one, two, in each limo with bodyguards and all this tinted windows. And so many people have tried to find out the location ahead and then go there and await these limos and then try and slow them down, take photos in through the windows to expose who these people are, because these people are not what you would consider criminals until you really start looking into what they're doing. Then it's a totally different ball game. But these are people you see on TV. Many of them on every single day. You know, it's royalties. They're from bankers. You got politicians way up there, prime ministers. You got in the legal systems. You got in the, you know, like MI6, CIA. You got Google. You got Bill Gates, David Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, Lord Carrington, you know, all of these people that you do not know are actually connected. You know, if you look at the version we're being served, being the public, you have absolutely no idea that, like before George Bush and Tony Blair and so on, that these people were actually having very secret meetings, discussing and deciding on the world agenda without us knowing it. And then when things like 9/11 happened, you know, if you look at how these power structures are connected in the background, and then when they pull things up like 9/11, and then within minutes after it happens, or within the first 20 minutes, suddenly they started talking about the war on terror. Out of the blue, the war on terror. And right away, within 10 minutes later, Tony Blair in England said, yes, we have to go to the war on terror. Then the French Prime Minister, François Mitterrand, said, we have to join the war on terror. And then the Swedish Prime Minister, being a neutral country, thank you, he said, we need to support that. Where did that come from? This is where it's so important to see these hidden networks and brotherhoods that are, you know, connected in the background, because it looks like, oh, Germany is doing this, England is doing that, Belgium is doing that, USA is doing that. No, 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 no. When you see how these groups are connected, you see how the agenda is pushed forward. And then by exposing the agendas, the last 200 pages of my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, is just the membership list, the location and the agenda from 1954 all the way up to 2014.
Oh, very nice.
I tell you, when you start studying these things, it is mind-blowing, because when you see who are involved in these groups and how they're connected and the agenda, if you study the agenda from the previous year and then you study world history and see what happened over the year that followed that meeting, they go almost hand in hand, year by year by year by year, meaning that that is where the real decisions are taken. You know, and then it's carried out in what we believe are just elections, or, you know, people are taking out, they're being killed, wars are started, terror acts are planned in these meetings. So this is why I think it's super, super important to expose them. And anyway, so this year I was invited there to be one of the key speakers on the outside the hotel. Because this year it was supposedly the Marriott Hotel in central Copenhagen. And so I flew in, I came from Spain, I flew in, and when I arrived to the airport, I was quite surprised, you know, because there was very little, there was no, custom officers at the airport, there was no passport control, these type of things, which is otherwise normal. So I found that a bit odd, you know, especially with a meeting like that happening just the day after, because I came on the evening just like 12 hours before they were supposed to start arriving.
Right.
And so I asked, can you please drive me to the hotel and so I can just check out and see what it looks like. We went there, and one thing that I found really odd to start with was that they had chosen a hotel in the central Copenhagen. I mean, just like 500 meters from the main train station and right by one of the main roads, you know, and right on the edge of a water canal, making it very, very hard security wise to cover it from the back. And so I said, can you please drive me there? So I was expecting, you know, like lots of police, armed police, maybe military people, snipers, helicopters, bomb sniffing dogs, the whole shebang, which is normal just before the meeting starts. I came there, absolute zero. There was nothing. And I was like, Are you sure this is the right hotel? Yeah, this is the Marriott Hotel. There were two Danish police officers outside, and then they were just about to begin to build like a concrete wall around the whole hotel to put fence in, to fence the whole thing in. And then no people, absolutely no normal people either, hardly. There was nothing. And then there were three black limos parked right outside the entrance. Black limos, identical. I mean, these are, like I said, these are the vehicles they always arrive in. So I thought, this is so odd. You know, this group, I mean, they have the best people when it comes to security questions, you know, military advisors, all of these things. And they got loads of money to spend on these meetings, which they normally do. Why on earth would they choose this hotel? So I started looking around. And it made absolutely no sense security-wise, because the whole building is made of glass. You can look through in through it. You can see people walking in the corridors and these. And from it's surrounded by quite not high rises with American standard, but from a Danish point of view, big building around it. And then it's right on the other side of the street. You got the Marriott. First, you got the Water Canal. Then the Marriott Hotel, then one of the main streets, and then on the other side of the main street, there's an open big area, graveled, that is normally used as a parking space for the Danish police headquarters, because that is right on the other side of this parking lot. The major, police headquarters of Denmark is right there. So, like I say, these people are not stupid, so I thought, why on earth have they chosen this? So I started studying the whole area. And I looked on the other buildings around it, all of them being insurance companies and bank companies owned and controlled by members of the elite. So I thought, this is so odd, you know, why are there no security? Why are there nothing of that? So option one, in the way I saw it, I've looked into these type of things for 30 years. Option one, a decoy. Because the whole parking area had been fenced in, and that was where the truth movement was going to be pushed in.
Right.
You know, so they had us totally controlled right in front of the hotel.
And it would make sense to have kind of a decoy, I guess.
Option one, a decoy. They would put some limos outside the entrance. I mean, that was almost like a business card saying, yes, we are here. You know, even if you're thick, we are here. And then they would drive in a few doubles, you know, put on some fancy hairdo and say, well, I'm Queen Beatrix, these type of things, you know, in with some doubles. At the same time, the group would meet in a castle, an army base, a five-star hotel somewhere else where they would be left totally alone and do their thing.
Right.
So that was option one, a decoy. But I thought it still doesn't make sense because it was so – they were so – just so weird. So I started looking around, you know, I started walking around. I mean, we could even walk. There were some people from InfoWars and myself and my friend. We were more or less the only people there. And we could walk all the way up to the hotel and look in, you know, these type of things. That would normally not happen at all. So then I started getting a very spooky feeling, because the more I looked at it, the more I saw that, oh my God, this would be the perfect setup for a false flag operation. You know, this group, the only thing that they have problems with is exposure and truth. These are the things that they really fear, because they've been able to get away with their agenda for decades due to the fact that they've been hiding in the shadows, that we have not been able to see them. So the thing that they do not want is exposure. And the truth movement has become a major pain in the butt for them. So if you haven't already seen it start, they have moved the so-called lone crazy guy when it comes to these false flag operations, mass shootings,
right,
or assassinating. We have been waiting for them to start blaming the truth movements. And I heard now in Las Vegas there was a so-called guy for the truth movement. Yeah, it's just, you know, Rocky 18. It's getting ridiculous. But the truth movement is something that they are aiming at to get rid of. And it would be, soon it would be the homeless. There would be a homeless guy that stands up and starts shooting around himself saying, Viva España or whatever. And, so I started looking upon it from a point of a possible false flag. And if you, these false flag operations, they secretly create a problem to get a reaction from the public, and the reaction they want to is an emotional reaction saying, oh my God, this is awful, 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 something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, I'm not talking about the general person in the country or in the world, then they will turn towards me, who they elected to deal with these things, and say, please, please do something. And then I, who secretly created the problem, will move in with my agenda. This is an old Roman tactic, very old Roman tactic, problem, reaction, solution.
Well, yeah, it's been used here in the United States, you know, to for gun rights and things like that, you know, to kind of take away that
they're doing it,
Sandy
they're doing
Hook.
It, yeah. They're doing it, they've done it hundreds of times the years. It's like, this is why it's so important to expose these templates and the methods so that people can become aware of them. You know, anyway, so I looked upon it and I thought, oh my God, because if you got the truth movement, now I'm setting this scenario of what could have been the plan. This is speculation. I'm just saying what I saw. If you got the whole truth movement in the fenced-in area, controlled by police, Danish police, that would not be aware of that there was a upcoming force like planned, they would control the whole thing. You would get in a couple of thousand. That would be good in for their purpose, because they need crowds, agitated crowds, to get the effect on in media, you know, because it's a matter of getting the images out through media, saying, you know, pumping all these awful images out. So you pump in, you push in a couple of thousand people in the truth movement into this fenced-in area. Then at the same time, you start driving in some limos with doubles to enter the hotel. But the whole hotel is more or less totally empty, but fully filled with explosives. Okay? And then, explosive. What you then do is also in the area where the truth movement is, you will have secondary explosives and smoke bombs like that. Okay, so what you need then is to get the crowd going, because you can't have a peaceful crowd. That won't work if you're going to blame them for this whole terror thing. So you need to get the whole thing going. If it's not agitated before, what you do is you send in a team of provocateurs, okay?
Right.
That you only need a handful, and they will suddenly start shouting, screaming, throwing things, maybe a couple of Molotov cocktails, these type of things, to get the whole thing going. If they do not succeed with that, then you send in more provocateurs. These will be dressed in Danish police uniforms, and they will arrest right in front of the fenced-in area, right in front of the whole crowd. They will arrest somebody who will also be a provocateur, and they will drag this guy right down in front of the whole crowd, maybe hit him a few times, you know, do things. He will scream, oh, don't hit me. So the whole crowd will go like, oh, my God, let him go, let him go, let him go. Then you add the Molotov cocktails, the screaming, the shouting, the whole thing is set up, yeah? And then once that's going, you've got the whole thing filmed with a crew down the street with a wide angle that would cover both where the truth movement is and the hotel from the side. And also the from the buildings that you control, the insurance companies and the bank building, you can have film crews there as well, plus aerial footage. So once that whole thing is going, suddenly, boom, out goes. You blow the whole front of the building out, just like they did in Norway, just like they did in Oklahoma City. The whole thing, if the explosives are aimed straight forward, then it won't hurt any of the buildings on the sides. It will just go totally on top of the truth movement.
Right.
At the same time as you got the smoke bombs and the secondary explosions going out there. So what you then will do is you will pump out right away in the media saying, oh my God, this truth movement, I mean, my God, here they are saying that they want a beautiful, peaceful world and so on. And what do? They totally massacre this poor, innocent little global elite group who just had a tea and a nice chat. and look what's going on. And with that, they pump that out in media to get the reaction from normal people saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And their solution would then be to totally ban all rights to demonstrate, ban the rights to protest, ban the rights to gather in big groups, and use that as a mean to censor the internet, because this is where the whole truth movement is getting and spreading all the information. So when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, am I paranoid, or is this actually something that could happen? So what I did was I went straight home to a friend of mine, and I called up a man by the name of Chip Tatum. You can find him on chiptatum.com. He's a former CIA deep cover agent for 25 years. He was one of the Night Stalker pilots. He was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra whole weapons out, drugs into the States. He was also the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team called Pegasus, a team of assassins, a super secret team of assassins that was sent globally and did at least 17 assassinations globally. So this is not an amateur, you know. This is he has also been part of false flag operations during his career. He turned whistleblower in the late 1990s and has since done his best to expose what is going on. So I called him and I said, listen, Chip, I have this eerie feeling that something very bad could go down here in Copenhagen. And he said, okay, please describe the whole scene. I described the whole scenario, the buildings, the setup, everything there. He said, that sounds very odd. He said, what about the security from behind? Are there any military vessels in the water? Have you got divers? Anything like that? I said, there's zero. There's absolutely nothing. He said, get out. Get out. This is a setup thing. He said, watch out for wires. Watch out for, you know, things that could be disguised explosives, you know, like left parcels or parking meters are standing on the gravel instead of
right.
These type of things that could be disguised things.
Right.
Because he said that this might very well be what you suspected. So then I called a former Marine and Professor Jim Fetzer, he's spent his whole grown-up life exposing 9/11, the JFK assassination, these type of things. I spoke to him as well. He said, sounds like a setup, you know, absolute. So what I did was then, once I got it confirmed that it was not just me being paranoid or afraid or something, but that this could actually happen. I'm speculating now. I'm not saying that this was the setup. I'm just saying that there was a lot of things pointing in that direction. I haven't gone into great details with it, but I can tell you more about it later.
Yeah, it was definitely it was a plausible scenario. It's something that very well could have taken place.
And then what I did was I went straight out. I contacted radio stations on New Zealand, Canada, the States, England, somewhere else as well, just pumping it up, you know, getting the radio host to please record the time and date when this is recorded. This is what I suspect that might be planned. Should this happen, please understand that this is not, it has nothing to do with the truth movement, that it will be a totally inside job aimed to demonize the truth movement and so on. I did that like on a handful of different shows, and they were so fast and efficient. I'm so grateful to them because they put it online right away. Kev Baker was one of them, super efficient, but boom, 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 out there, out there, out there. So I was on the radio until 4 a.m. or something like that, my main aim was to, if this is actually going to happen, then I wanted to diffuse it, to do everything to expose it so that they couldn't pull it off, you know.
Right.
And then the very next morning I was there, I only slept a few hours. I was there 8, 9 or something like that in the morning. One of the first that came to the area, you know, the fenced in area where the truth movement was supposed to gather. Do you know what I found there? Somebody during the night, or somebody that I had not noticed, had put like a 6-meter big pentagram in the middle of this parking area made of train sleepers. I mean, can you imagine?
Where was this at now? Where was the pentagram?
Right in the middle of this parking area, you know, where the Truth Movement was supposed to
get.
So can you imagine the aerial footage if you got, like, you get the whole thing with the explosion, you got smoke, you got dead bodies, torn bodies, all of these things. And then in the middle of the Truth Movement, a pentagram, a massive big pentagram. If that is not something that could demonize the Truth Movement, if that got spread all over the place.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes it look like, you know, a satanic agenda that, you know.
But these are elite group, they use this symbol very, you know, often. And anyway, so, well, what happened then also was that in the daily newspapers in Denmark, it said that between 1,000 and 2,000 people had gathered up in front of the hotel to protest, you know. I tell you, the whole time I was there, maximum we were a couple of hundred. Where did these numbers come from? 2,000, there's a big difference between 2,000 and 113.
Well, yeah.
But this is how they do when you follow the template, how to carry these things out. They leak this info out beforehand to make the whole thing more plausible. And what they would also do, if this was a planned event, what they would have done is they would have blown up a handful of people inside the hotel. But these people would be like bodyguards, people from the kitchen, cleaning staff. And then they would maybe throw in a couple of old Bilderbergers that they had problems with or could dispose of, just to gain credibility, you know. And then in this scenario, the Bilderberg group, the elite, would be the poor elite that have been,
I gotta stop you real quick. We gotta go to break. This is the Johnny English Show. We'll be right back.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get your hands on silver dime trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's book 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Don't Tread on Meme's clever apparel. Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of consent. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube. We're bringing a whole bunch of great new additions to YouTube. First of all, we're leveling the playing field by entirely removing subscriptions. You know how we've been phasing out subscriptions and making them less and less important by taking them off your home screen? Well, now subscriptions are non-existent. Everyone is equal. YouTubers that put in hours and hours of effort to make quality videos will be at the same level as 12-year-old Call of Duty gamers and video bloggers. Now you might be asking, how do I know what to watch now? Well, now your home screen is going to be filled with videos we think you'll like. Did you accidentally click on a My Little Pony video once? Well, now your home screen is going to be filled with videos just like that.
YouTube Plus. We owe 99% of the content creators.
There's only one choice. To resist.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
This is the Johnny English Show.
Let's hear some excellence in broadcasting.
Welcome back. This is the Johnny English Show. It's we're into the second hour now, and of course our guest Ole Damogord from lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. You can go over to the website. You can buy his book, Coup d'etat, in slow motion, and several other things. You can kind of sift through a lot of the research this guy has done. Very nice guy, and he's done a lot of research over the years. He's really dug into, and we're going to have him back at some point in time, and probably several times, because there's so many different things this guy's researched. And I want to get his eye. You know, it's nice to get an opinion or someone to talk to that's not in this country, kind of an outside source, you know, from the outside looking in or whatever, because he does have information on the JFK assassination, as well as several other things that have happened here in the United States, as mentioned in the first hour, when we're talking about, you know, the things that are going to happen or could happen. And the things that have gone on, like the Boston bombing and the Sandy Hook, and just recently out in Vegas, where, you know, all of a sudden somebody loses it and goes into a movie theater and shoots things up. Well, now they got to take our guns and, you know, all this other stuff.
He really painted a picture for me the last hour while he was describing the hotel in Denmark.
Yeah.
I was Googling images of the hotel, aerials, ground shots, the hotel. I'm like,
so you're like following along like a picture book. He's describing it, and it's
I'm
very accurate.
Over here going,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I tell you, if you go to my website instead, I collected, if you go there on the front page, there's a poster from the Bilderberg event where I was one of the key speakers. And it says above there, there's a link, false flag operation or something like that. You click on that, you will get the images, the aerial footage of the hotel. You will get the photos of the pentagram. I found there was actually two pentagrams. You will get the whole scenario and also some of the interviews I did where I did the warnings, and then afterwards also the report when nothing happened and the whole thing was blown up. But I just wanted to say that this is not in any way to polish my own halo. The reason why this information is so important is that there is a very good possibility for us, the normal people, to pre-expose these things once we get aware of the signs, you know. If we can pre-expose them, saying even before they carry it out, because up until now, it's always in hindsight. You see, oh my God, there's a bomb. Okay, this has happened. You're being served a version, and this is what happened. But then it's too late often. If we can somehow expose the methods, the template they're using, and then expose them, pre-expose them, then we are a major step forward. And I would suggest that one of the things that they do on a very, very regular basis is that at the same time as they carry these false flag operations, at the same time they're carried out, they also have a drill going on at the same time. This is part of the template. And one of the reasons is to get an innocent patsy in place. He is often part of the drill, not knowing that he will actually be blamed for the whole thing. But it's also a way of getting explosives and all of these things in position without normal people noticing, because they will just see, oh, there's a drill going on. But in the middle of the whole thing, this drill goes live, and then suddenly you have what is called massacre or something that would be blamed on a lone crazy guy to push forward their agenda. So I would say anytime you hear about a drill coming to your town or they're going to carry out some kind of a drill, go there, film it, film the location so that if something should happen, step one would be that their footage beforehand so that you can compare it, what it looked like before and after the event. But even better, the more that they become, that they get the spotlight aimed at them so that they say, oh my God, we can't really do this. We're being filmed while we're trying to set the whole thing up. There might be a possibility of defusing it. And I would say that is a major importance to try and do this so we can get this whole madness stopped.
Well, Ollie, I'm a firm believer in using what they've used against us, against them. And, you know, any technology, because a lot of the technology that's out today, I'm kind of a techno nerd kind of guy. I love technology, but I do also know what it's being used for. Okay. I'm not stupid. I'm not blind. I do know that a lot of the stuff that's out there is used to actually keep track of us. And it's very easy to keep track of what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're want, you know, buying, and et cetera, et cetera. But we can actually use that against them, Ollie. Everything we have, we could actually turn around and use it against them. Like you said, it's amazing to me how many, or I should say how few videos and pictures are actually out there because people just, they have cameras. There's a camera on every phone now. People that aren't using them, you know, it just amazes me. Everybody should be filming everything that they possibly can. If you suspect something, if you have a feeling like you did there at Bilderberg, you know, crack out your camera, pull your phone out. It doesn't matter if it's the footage isn't perfect. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you capture something that we can compare later on, or like you said, maybe prevent something.
I mean, the better, the more visible the people filming, the more they show that they are filming so that the people who are trying to set the whole thing up, that they see that, oh my God, I'm not, you know, being able to crawl around in the shadows, not being visible. Suddenly I'm being filmed. It's a very, very good, great nonviolent way of neutralizing, these things. So I would very much encourage people to do that and then get it out on YouTube, get it out on the internet, which is their tool. But just like you say, we are using their technique to expose them suddenly, you know, they're in a different.
Well, it's worked quite well here in the United States where people are actually starting to film police officers. So it's actually exposed a lot of the things that have happened. And obviously you go bar as far back as. When the guy got beat up, you know, after the OJ thing,
Rodney King
got, you know, decimated mm-hmm. out there in the middle of the street. And that was back in the VCR or, you know, camcorder type stuff. It wasn't even on a phone, but it's been going on. It just needs to happen more often. And I think we can really prevent or at least expose these people even more if we just, you know, use our technology to our advantage.
Hallelujah. I think YouTube and mobile phones, cell phones, it's like a marriage in heaven. You know, the thing that can be done with that. I love these things, you know, also when people inform themselves of their rights, I've got links on my website as well where it says what I can do or what you can do and how to inform yourself about what, you know, are your rights, if you got time, I almost got arrested at the Bilderberg meeting. I can just show a little of how to be able to use these if you know what your rights are and so on. Or do you want to go into the JFK up to your co-host?
I want to hear about how you got arrested.
I didn't get arrested.
Oh,
the thing was, okay. Denmark is officially a very peaceful country with a very civilized police and so on. It has been. Now it's getting like in many or more or less all different countries, you know, you got the nice police officer, suddenly you got Robocop. What happened? You know, this is all due to all of these so-called terror acts, that are.
Has there been that clear of a change? Cause I've heard back in the day when I had a chance, I could have went to Germany when I was in the military and I didn't. But I, you know, obviously I talked to people that were over there And, you know, they always talk about a lot of the policemen were, they didn't even carry guns. They carried, basically carried billy clubs and, you know, the goofy hat. And that was it. And they didn't have the problems that we even had here in the United States, which, again, leads me to believe that a lot of the things that happen here in the United States are, number one, blown out of proportion. Number two, and this is back then, not now. And number two, were actually started by the people that say, you know, they were actually encouraged to do these things, this whatever it is they were doing. But is it been that clear of a change, Ole, where they've gone from these basically these cops walking around with billy clubs, now they're just walking around looking like they just came out of a video game or something with their full regalia and, you know, body armor and their M4s?
I haven't seen RoboCops myself. But what I've seen in England, for instance, where, you know, they used to have this like a tit on their head, and they had a whistle, and they would say if a criminal started running, you know, they would scream after him, stop, or I'll whistle again. That was it, you know, no weapons, no nothing like that. And now you go there, they walk around, bulletproof vests are standard, you know, they got automatic weapons on, they got all of these. I mean, it's like, what happened? And all of this is from 9/11 and onwards. And the 9/11, I swear you can chop off my right arm if this was not a total inside job from this global elite where the Bilderberg Group is part of them to push forward their agenda, create a problem to get a reaction from people. Oh my God, something needs to be done. And boom.
Ole, do you think they're ahead or behind in their agenda? Do you think they're ahead of schedule or behind schedule?
I think they're getting very, very, I would say, scared and scattered. You know, I think the agenda is falling apart around them. And this is also one of the reasons I think we're living at absolute wonderful times, because the ship is going down in my point of view. You were talking about a slow awakening. I totally do not agree with you. The way I see it, and the way I, when I contact people in many different areas, there's this incredible awakening going on. Absolutely. But you don't hear about it in main media. I wonder why.
Well, I think it's because of where I live. I think here in the, in the Midwest, here in the States, the Midwest is kind of like the last to get anything.
Yeah.
We really are. We're the last to get any new music, anything new that happens in pop culture or anything else. It's the Midwest literally is the last to get it. So I think, and a lot of the people here just aren't, concerned, you know, because it hasn't really hit home here yet. I mean, we're close to Chicago, and we're about 3 hours from Chicago. So, but we still don't get that. You know, when something big happens, it's most people are just kind of going about their daily lives. They're like, oh, look at that. And it's not that big of a situation. Most people here, again, are prepared, sort of. They would know how to survive. If something were to happen big, they would know how to survive. But that's just from living in the Midwest. It's that Midwestern attitude. It's like where I come from down south, same thing. You know, the old song, Country Boys Will Survive. It's kind of that, you know, that's along those same lines. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I think it's a slow growing process, because I don't see a lot of people that are really concerned with it. People around here, you mentioned anything to do with 9/11 or anything else, and they look at you cross-eyed.
No disrespect. I must say the States have been very asleep for a long time and very brainwashed into thinking that you are the center of the world and the rest of us are just islands out in the sea somewhere. I would say it's high time to wake up, because the people in your government are extremely central in this global elite, and their agenda is not a nice one, that I can inform you about.
Let me ask you this, Ole, and this is something that I just kind of started getting into heavily. Why do you think the United States was created? I mean, why do you think it was allowed to happen? Because personally, and this is my feeling, I personally think the Pilgrims, maybe they did have this idea of getting away, escaping religious persecution. But then you had the American Revolution that happened. At that point in time, you had a lot of things go on. You had a lot of infiltration Most of the founding fathers, quote unquote, were Freemasons, if not all. And, you know, people think that they were Christian men. They were not. There were several of them that were actually very adamant against Christianity and very much into satanic cultures and things like that. People don't realize that, but that's what this country was founded on. Do you think this country was allowed to happen possibly to promote this agenda eventually? It was just kind of the kickoff period.
I'm the wrong person to ask. I only talk about things I know.
Okay.
I don't know the, I wouldn't, I can speculate, but I mean, everybody can speculate, doesn't gain anyone any good. So, but what I can say is that most of what you said there, as far as I know, is correct. But if it was done on deliberately or not, I don't know. The tricky thing is that, you know, after war, they say that it's the, whoever won the war is the one who's going to write the history books.
Right.
And these people have been very, very active for many, many, many years. You know, we're talking decades, decades, centuries, actually, when you go back in history. And very central in creating history and also writing history books. So this is the thing we've been fed. And just like you said, everything you learn in school, it just comes out more and more like, oh, my God, this is just absolutely not true.
Yeah, and it's everything, so, too. It's everything to do with history, everything to do just with science. It's all being proven false, you know, as we get older.
It's a very painful awakening to become aware of many of these things. I wouldn't say everything, but a lot of it has been manipulated. That is for sure.
Well, I tell you, do you want to try to get into a little bit of JFK? Would you like to have a couple of questions answered, or do you want to continue down a different road? I mean, I'll leave it up to you, my friend.
Let's continue.
I feel okay.
JFK will drown the show at this moment.
Yeah, we could probably do a separate show totally. We'll discuss that, because there are several different things that we can get into that. That's an entire show on its own. So I agree.
I tell you, without bragging, I've been invited as one of the world experts on the JFK assassination. So I could very easily fill like a 2-hour show if you want to go into details. And I think it's better to go into great detail instead of just scraping on the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I totally agree with that. Nick, do you have anything you want to, don't let me control this thing. Go ahead. Ask something if you need to.
Again, not at the moment. That's why I said let's just keep going down this road.
Okay.
We are going into great detail. And
of course, the JFK assassination, just to kind of, you know, that's just another one of the turning points in this country. Because, obviously JFK had certain, and you know, personally, and we'll get into this in more detail when we do the show on JFK. But I honestly think, you know, once he got into that office, he actually started believing he had this power, mm-hmm. and found out quickly that he did not, you know, and a lot of other people found out as well. So but it was a turning point. Like you said, just think about all the things that happened after the assassination. You said yourself, you know, that the population explosion, the population has doubled since he was murdered. And all the different other things that have happened to the world, the wars and things that have happened, things that have been in power since then. That was another big turning point, Ole, was that assassination.
I think it's the turning point, I tell you. As far as I, if I'm correct with my 30 years of research, JFK was the last real president, the last real elected president, even though there was some, you know, there was some not totally clean things around his election either, with his dad being involved with the Chicago mob and so on. But he was the last real elected president. When he was taken out, this group that killed him, that slaughtered him, has stayed in power ever since. It's the same power elite that stepped in there that are still ruling the show to this very day. They've just changed the face of this very, very brutal war, killing war machine. I don't know what else to call it. But all the precedent that have followed after this has been part of the same group of people who killed him. So that's why it's so important to study this case, to see who were involved and how they have then continued stayed in power and has absolutely tainted the rest of the world in a very, very brutal way. So this is why I put such an effort in exposing that case.
Well, and there's obviously been, there was a 12-year-old little girl that did a YouTube video and kind of laid out this, supposedly she did the research and connected all the presidents that we've had in this country. And they were all related to one king in England, from obviously way back, except for one, Zachary Taylor. And that's including Barack Obama as well. Do you think, to me, that kind of, it looks really strange, Ole. I mean, if they're all related somehow, then you could take the stance that we're all related somehow. But once you get past a certain point, yeah, we're kind of related, but obviously we all have different bloodlines and things like that. How can all these presidents be a part of the same bloodline? You know, I mean, what are the odds of that actually happening? And, you know, just by chance, they have to be astronomical.
Once again, I'm the wrong person to answer. Okay. I mean, just because a 12-year-old girl has put this forward, I would not say that it's facts. I have no idea. I know that we're supposed to be related, all of us, through Adam and Eve. But otherwise than that, I have no idea. As far as I know, they're not related.
Well, what about, let's go with the, have you done much research on the royal family?
The English royal family?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're extremely central in this whole global power elite. Extremely.
Aha, finally.
Very, very sinister group.
I finally came up with something that you know something about. Okay.
I can speculate, but.
Right. No, that's fine.
I've heard these things as well, but I mean, for me, it's like, should I put in a year of research to find out that they're all related? I mean, it doesn't really make sense. Why would I even bother? It's more important to focus on what's going on, who's behind it, how are they connected, who's carrying it out, and let's stop it by exposing it. My focus.
Now, the Bush family is related to, don't they go back to the royal family?
Don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought that was one of the, because I know that's one of the researchers have come up with, saying that the Bushes are somehow they go back to the same bloodline. Yeah,
I know they come from Germany. All of them. Okay. That's what they say. The royal English family is a German family that came into power. They were placed in England and took over there. So the whole English family is actually German. And they also say that George Bush is of German he's a German ancestor, and his real name was a different name. But when I look into these things, it does not make any sense at all. I cannot see, you know, I've been presented it, I've read it through, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Is the royal family that's in power now the real royal family?
No.
Okay,
they're not royalties at all.
So, what happened? Where did this change? When did this change over? Do you know?
Oh, it's way back. I'm not sure exactly when it happened, because there's been a lot of these marriages in and out, you know, and the way they take over countries. So, but you got like Prince Philip, for instance, who's the husband of Queen Elizabeth II of Windsor.
Right.
He used to be an extreme Nazi in Germany, and then as a young man, and then he moved over and became her husband and so on. And he's both Elizabeth and Philip are very, very central in a lot of these very, very awful things that has happened to the world in the last 50, 60 years.
And that's really another thing that, again, being, you know, going back to high school and grade school and things like that, they always presented the royal family as you always see Queen Elizabeth as this nice old lady, and she was, you know, kind of frail, and she was so innocent, and they always portrayed them in such a great light. Then you look at all the weddings, and they made such a huge deal out of it here in the States, and people don't even know these people. They live in some town in the middle of the country, and they're crying when these people are getting married, oh my goodness, it's so sweet. It's a storybook wedding, you know, and all this other stuff. And they really don't understand. And I didn't understand then. I do now that there really is a lot of evil behind these people. These people aren't who they portray themselves to be.
It's like you say, a fairy tale wedding. That is how it's set up, you know, for us to see, oh my God, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so all of these things. I just want to point out that on the 31st of March this year, Queen Elizabeth, the second of Windsor, and the former Pope were indicted to court in Brussels in Belgium, a people's court of international lawyers and judges. And the accusation was child genocide. Now, these are heavy, heavy, heavyweight accusations.
It's weird. I never saw anything about that on TMZ, Ole. How weird is that? Never caught that on the Fox News channel. That's weird.
That is so weird. Can it really be true if you didn't see it on Fox News? And I just want to point out as well, because we who knew about this, I'm even a friend of one of the legal advisors to the court, we who knew about it was just waiting. How are they going to divert the attention away from this case? Because this would be the trial of the century, yeah? You would think.
And, yeah.
And in the media, you have heard nothing. And right before, just a few days before it happened, this airline, boom, disappeared. So the whole global media, I'm not saying that this is what happened, but that this was on purpose, but this is what happened. The whole global media, well, it was like, look left, and the whole media, whoop, left, no, is the plane over here? No, it's over there. No, it's over there. No, it's over there. No, it's over there. You know, wow. And confusing.
It really was comical, Ole. I mean, to be honest, it was not. What I'm saying is literally pointing and saying it's over here. No, it's over there. No, wait a minute. It might be over there. We're going to get into a little bit more of that after the break. We're coming up on it right now. Ole Damgaard is our guest. We're very lucky to have him, and we'll have him back hopefully at another time to discuss even more things. But we're going to take a quick break, about 3 minutes. Hang in there. We got another segment left. We'll get into more stuff. Johnny and the Show, we'll be right back.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in, and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
This is the Johnny English Show. We are back live, last segment with our guest Ole Damegaard, and we've touched on a few different things, and we're going to talk about, we'll discuss the JFK conspiracy at a different time when we can have Ole back on and really get deep into it, because it really is going to take, even 2 hours probably wouldn't be enough time, but we're going to do our best.
30 years of research.
He's got tons of research into this thing, and he's one of the world-renowned experts when it comes to the JFK assassination, and I definitely want to do that show. I can't wait. That's one of my favorite subjects to kind of dive into. It's one of the first subjects that really kind of got me to realize that things weren't as they seem. And even as a child, when, you know, learning about JFK and learning what happened, I felt like something was wrong. I just had that feeling, you know. Ole and I were discussing the art of waking up, you know, during the commercial, and it's a lot longer process than what I thought it was going to be, because I thought I was kind of awake. Okay. I thought I was there, but I'm not really. I'm not really all the way there, and I'm going. I think I've been through so many different stages that now I'm in the stage where I'm mad. I'm just mad. I'm tired of being afraid.
We saw that on the first show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sick of being afraid. And everybody out there listening right now, stop being afraid. And that's one of the things we want to point out here on this show. If you don't get anything else out of it, at least get out. Just stop being afraid. Stop being chicken. And it's not a good fear is not bad for you, but to be, I like to more call it be extra aware, being extra aware of your surroundings, being aware of what's going on around you. But stop cowering in fear. Stop curling up in the corner, shaking like a little dog, a wet poodle or something. We have to do something here, and nothing's ever going to get solved unless we do it. And Ole here has been doing it for a long, long time. What else would you like to discuss, Ole? I mean, I don't want to get, you know, too deep into something that we're not going to have time to cover.
I would like to follow up what you said about fear, because fear is their tool. You know, this is why they try to keep us very low, very depressed, very occupied, preoccupied with our own situation, with our, you know, financial situation, with all of these things. If you look at in a laboratory, if you have a high frequency and a low frequency, and by the way, the highest of the highest frequency is the one that has been labeled love. I'm not talking about love as I fancy you, baby, if you're nice to me, that type of love. I'm talking about what is called love. Okay. And the lowest of the lowest frequency is what is labeled pure terror, meaning fear. This group that we're discussing about, the reason why they try to push us down all the time through media, through all kinds of way they can with all these terror acts and so on, is to push us down in an area where they can control us. And their name of the game is fear. They want us in fear mode, depressed, sad, guilt, with debt up over our ears and so on.
Wow, so, you just described me not too long ago, Olay.
There you go. The rest of the humanity as well. I'm join the club. I'm in the same situation more or less as well. But what I'm saying is that in a laboratory, when you let two frequencies meet of difference, a very high and a very low, what happens is that it's not that they meet in the middle and they start struggling. It's like the low one just gets annulled. It just disappears. Just like when you walk into a dark room and you switch on the light. It's not like the shadows are dragged, you know, screaming while they're being dragged out. I'm not leaving. Like that. They just disappear. And this is the same way that we can solve a lot of these problems, because they try to control us with methods of fear. And if you go into fear mode, you're theirs. You're in their ballgame. But if you can meet them with a higher frequency, a very high frequency, they can't really touch you. And so, there's something in the universe. I don't know how it works. I can just say I've been to quite a few war zones. I've been in many dangerous situations and so on. And I've seen the magic work again and again. If you can focus your mind to a higher frequency. I mean, the word that works for me is divine. It might sound a bit religious or new age for some people, but I'm just saying this is the one that works for me. I'm not a religious person, but divine. When somebody like a police officer is screaming or shouting or threatening me or something like that, what I do is I focus on the word, oh, divine, divine, divine. He's somebody's brother. He's somebody's son. Divine, divine. He's somebody that, you know, a good, keep that frequency. What happens is if you get afraid, if you get scared of what he's doing or he's trying to force you into, the chances of you getting hurt are very big. But if you can stay in the higher frequency, I tell you, something magical happens if you can manage to stay in that one. Suddenly the situation diffuses when you do not get scared, when you do not buy into the fear mode. And then a few minutes down the line, you're like, you become friends, or the whole thing just diffuses. And this is the way, I would say, by informing yourself about your rights, by knowing and how to deal with this situation, empowering yourself. Because one of the ways to raise the energy so that you can meet these difficult situations is by feeling gratitude for what you have. The more grateful you are, the more you fill your heart with love for the people you have around you, the gratitude for your bed, the food, the roof, whatever it is you have to be grateful. We all have loads of things to be grateful for that we don't even notice most of the time. But the more we can fill our heart with that, the harder it is for them to deal with us. And I just, if there's only a few minutes left, I can just tell you about the situation in Copenhagen where I almost got arrested. Because I was walking down the street. There was hardly any people there. I was just in front of the hotel, doing absolutely nothing wrong. I was just walking down the street and whoop, this police car came and stopped. This was a Danish police car. I mean, like I said, they're very nice people, all the ones I've ever met. And this young police officer jumped out of the car and came over and approached me and my friend. And he said, hi, how are you doing? And very friendly. Listen, would you mind, could you please show me some identification? And for people who study history, this is how Hitler and Stalin and all of these different dictators, how they started the whole agenda of controlling the population, is that people all the time had to have ID on them and so on. So I said to him, hi, very nice to meet you, and I'm sorry, but absolutely not. And he got a little confused, and he said, please, I just need to see some ID. And I said, I'm sorry, but not. Then he said, then I have to inform you that here in Denmark, the Danish law says that if the police ask you to identify yourself, by law, you have to do that. I said, the last time I was in Denmark, it was not a police state, and I will not. Absolutely no aggression, absolutely no fear. This is the key, I would say. Okay. So he was getting a little confused there, and my friend, he showed he gave him his, name and whatever, but I did not. I just felt in my heart, absolutely no way. Because, I mean, I was one of the key speakers at this meeting. It was not like it was a big secret who I was, but it was totally a matter of principles here.
Yeah. Right.
So we were standing there talking, and then the captain came out of the car, and he approached us, very polite, very nice, and he said, please, you have to understand, this is not a game. Identify yourself, or I have to arrest you. I said, okay. I just accepted what he said, and then he was getting more and more confused because I was not buying into the fear mode. Once again, I'm not polishing my halo. I'm just saying this is how we can diffuse it. And there's so many beautiful examples in the States of people at illegal border crossings or traffic blocks and so on, just knowing their rights and not doing it, whatever they're being tried to force to do. Anyway, so the captain came out and he wanted to arrest me. And I said, fine, if that is what you want, fine. And I said, but by the way, do you know what group it is that you are protecting? Because actually, you are protecting this group that are going to meet in this hotel on the other side of the street from people like myself. And I am a citizen of this country, actually paying your wages to protect me from people like them. So I said, do you know this group? He said, no, we got people on the inside who can check these people out. I said, absolutely not. You have people on the outside. The people on the outside don't know either who they're protecting. So I would say it's called the Bilderberg Group and so on. He said, well, I don't know about them. And I'm not into politics anyway. I said, it's not a matter of politics. I'm not into politics either. It's a matter of criminalities. Criminals on a scale that is mind-blowing once you get into it. Well, he said, well, I'm not into that type of thing, and it's not a game. So now you identify yourself, or I have to arrest you. I did not answer that one. And then we had about, it felt like a couple of minutes, maybe it was only half a minute, I don't know. But our eyes were meeting, and I was just looking in his eyes. No fear, no aggression, no nothing. I was just focusing on the word divine, 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 divine. He's somebody's father. He's somebody's son. Divine, divine. And this was a gentleman. He was a very kind man, but he had absolutely no idea what he was doing, you know?
Right.
So in the end, he said, okay, but I need to arrest you. I said, listen, if you look at it, it's actually a kind of a waste of time. What you can do, you can arrest me. You will take me downtown. You will book me. You will get me a cup of coffee. You will ask me who I am. I will say I will not tell you. Then if you're a nice police officer, you will drive me back here. Or if you're not, then you will say, well, you have to stay overnight. I will say, okay, fine, great. Have you got a pillow? And then maybe in the morning, if you are such a nice police officer as I think you are, maybe you will give me a Danish and a cup of coffee and then drive me back here. Absolute waste of time. So why don't we do it like this? You promise me, you go home on the internet and study this group, the Bilderberg Group. I mean, when I started out, there was absolutely no information to find, or very, very hard. But now you got like a million hits on this group, so very easy to find out who it is. You promise me to study this group, and I'll tell you who I am. And he said, okay. So I told him who I was. I gave him my correct name, a totally false address, and the rest was false as well. But the name was correct, because that was what I promised him that I would do.
Right.
And then I said, he wrote it down, and he started, you know, going on the radio. And I said, so now you're going down. Because the whole thing was also why we were standing there, because it was taking such a long time. There were some people gathering around. There were some journalists. I think maybe somebody from InfoWars came also, and was sort of surrounding these police guys and suddenly starting asking them questions about why do you want to arrest this guy? We saw him. He was just walking down the street. What's going on? So suddenly they were in a position where they had to stand in a line of fire, if you want to know. I mean, they had to answer questions and justify their behavior.
Right.
And anyway, he was trying to check out. He was getting very confused. And I said, okay, thank you. And I just walked off, you know. But this is my hope is that even though he said he was not going to go home and study this group, I think that maybe some kind of spark down the line was, you know, the confusion about why wasn't I afraid? Why was it okay for me to be arrested? I mean, I don't look insane. Do you know these type of things? And maybe he will go home educate himself and start waking up to the fact that, oh my God, whose agenda am I serving? And then through that, when he talks to his colleagues and so on, you know, it was slowly spread. Also, the police that were surrounding the whole area with the truth movement, we were in a dialogue with them. You know, they came in bulletproof vests the first day. They left in vests with stickers on the back that said the Danish word for love. You know, so it was amazing. I tell you, because it was like these people in that building right behind us. I mean, I gave two speeches right outside. I mean, they could hear what I was talking about.
Right.
And I was coming from a point of love, absolute fearless exposure, and whatever it takes to stop them, except violence. You know, I'm not here to spread violence, fear,
well,
hate in anyone.
Consider this little scenario, if you will. What if all these people, all the soldiers, and I don't mean just the U.S. military. I mean every military across the world. All the soldiers, all the police officers, all these people that are supposedly in authority, and you know, whether military or whatever. What if they just laid down their arms and or just said, "Stop! I'm done fighting. We're not going to fight wars anymore. We're finished." And there was nobody for the elitist to contract to arrest people and kill people and things like that. If a majority, you know, pretty much everybody that's not these elitists, I guess you could say, if they all just said, "Stop, we're done. We're done. We're done. We're finished killing each other. We're finished doing this and that and the other." What would the elitists do? I mean, you got to think about it. They would have nobody to promote their agenda anymore. They would have nothing if we all stopped buying and stopped selling and we all just took a break. Even if it was just for a month and we just said, "Look, we don't need to have all these other things. We don't need to have this. If banks come to collect or whatever, who's gonna collect for them? Nobody. You're not gonna go to jail because the police officers aren't arresting people anymore. You're what are they gonna do? Send you a nasty letter, just like you said earlier about the cop? You know, I'll stop. I'll blow my whistle again. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. They would have nobody to arrest people, kill people, shoot people, whatever. You know, that's kind of a scenario I imagine, Ole, is that's what's literally going to have to happen, I think, in order for us to quote unquote win, if there actually is a winner in this whole situation, is if we all just stopped and said, we're done being afraid, we're done hating each other over dumb things, racism, little issues, you know, here and there, you know, that they use to separate us. Because if we come together, Ole, if we all come together as a human race, they lose. They're done. They're over. There's nothing. There'll be a small group of people standing around wondering who's gonna wash my car for me, who's gonna fix me dinner. You know, they're not gonna have anyone. They're gonna be alone. You know, and I mean, consider that scenario. What do you think they would do? I mean,
This is the whole thing. Without us, they can't do anything.
Exactly. And people don't understand that, Ole. It's like we are the reason they are who they are is because of us. We make them just like everything else around us. We are the reason gold is so sought after. You know, we're the reason that things are expensive because we say they're expensive and we say that gold is worth a lot. Well, what if we just say it's not? What if we say all currency, anything like that is not, it's not worth anything? We just trade food to keep ourselves alive, you know, and we live in our own houses. We build our own houses or whatever. We just stay where we're at. It's really, and I know it sounds like a kumbaya moment, and it sounds like we're all just, you know, one of these weird peaceful scenarios or whatever. But really, I mean, it, just sit and think about it. We are the reason why all these things are.
Do you know why? In many interviews, and you can find that on my website as well, I speak directly to people in uniform, directly to police. I did that in Copenhagen as well. I spoke directly to the police who were there. I speak directly to the elite as well. And because it's so important, especially when it comes to people in uniform, because it's so tragic that these people are not aware of whose agenda they're serving, especially soldiers. I mean, most people enlist to because they think that I'm going to be a hero, I'm going to do something good for my country, I'm going to go and defend freedom and democracy, I'm going to come home with medals, I'm going to be admired by girls, and my family's going to, you know. I'm sorry. The real truth, you're being trained as hired assassins, brutal killers, enforcers of death and destruction to totally innocent countries. And this whole thing is based on not even your own greed, but the greed of a group that is so criminal that it's absolutely, I cannot, sometimes it feels like my brain is going to explode when I think of the magnitude of the criminality of this group. And these people, I also want to say that people in uniform, you think that you have power. Please understand, it's the uniform that has power. These people do not care about you at all. The minute they don't need you anymore, you're just an empty uniform. Doesn't matter if you're a general or a captain or whatever. If they don't need you, you're out. And the bigger and more strong you are, the higher up you get, the more they will fear you as well. And they will get rid of you. When you get too powerful, they will just eliminate you. So you are not safe. You know?
Well, yeah, we've seen that. We've seen the elimination of people. They get to a certain level, and you know, in any industry, they get to a certain level, and if they're not part of the group, man, they're done.
You can study Khomeini, study Hitler, study Mussolini, study Stalin, study Obama. Same, study Bush. It's the same agenda, same way they do it. It's the same. So it's not like it's a surprise coming up. But it's not only people in uniform, because we are controlling ourselves. Without them, it's, you know, they can sit and scream in a corner. If we don't listen, they can keep screaming and nothing will happen. And this, you know, so anyone who is involved in their agenda, I think we all have to look in the mirror and see, am I part of this in any way? And if so, how can I make a difference for the better? You know, when it comes to their direct agenda, anyone working for a FEMA camp, for instance, or installing toilets there, or being an electrician, or anyone who's successful in surveillance equipment, or all of these cameras, or in the police uniform, or SWAT teams, or death collectors, or whatever it is, inform yourself. See whose agenda you are serving. Because when this comes to an end, you will be looked upon as somebody who worked for the traitor, for the enemy. You would be looked upon as traitors. Study world history, you will see this is what's going down.
Well, yeah, and as they're building their underground bunkers and things like that, do you honestly think for a second you're going to get in there? Do you really think for an absolute second, because you're doing their bidding, that they're going to save you? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And these are not compassionate people. You know, they do not care about you. And it's the sooner people find out what's going on, the sooner we can make this whole thing stop. And I think there's this beautiful old film called The Wizard of Oz that makes this perfect image of what is going on. You got this little girl with her dog. All that she's getting, she's totally lost. She doesn't know what is right or wrong anymore. She just want to go home, you know, back to where the way it was before, in beauty and balance and harmony and so on. And the only way she can get back is to confront her fears by meeting the so-called Wizard of Oz. So she takes her friends with her, and they manage to go and find this castle. And in the castle, because they are afraid, but they're still brave enough to continue, they get into this castle, and there's this massive voice screaming, "You are powerful, and you're weak, I'm powerful," you know. And they're so scared, you know, they almost run away. But this little girl, because that's all it takes, is one strong spirit, and that strong spirit has to be you, the one in the mirror. This little girl, she stays where she is, and even though this whole thing is being screamed at her, and then suddenly they notice that behind this curtain, there's a little wire going in on it. So they walk over, and they pull away the curtain, and behind the curtain is a little old man, with a microphone and a massive amplifier saying, I'm powerful and you're weak. I'm sorry, but you're not. And if you look at this small so-called elite group, I call them the lightless or the minority. They are a few thousand and we are, I don't know how many billions, but a lot more, you know. So this is the whole thing. If Henry Kissinger says, go to war, I say, please do. I would love to see you in boxer shorts and a pair of gloves and do some fighting yourself. You know, you never send your own people. You don't send your sons or daughters to go into. It's yep. us that you consider cannon fodder. And, you know, the way they look upon us, quote Henry Kissinger, useless eaters. Yep. I mean, what does that say? It's not very pretty, I would say.
No.
But it is high time to wake up for us all. And I just want to say also, if I can just describe the way normal people wake up. First, it's almost like losing somebody you really love. First, there's this absolute denial. No, this cannot be true. This cannot be true. Then a total shock once you find out. Then you get obsessed with it, trying to, my God, find out, can this really be true? So you start studying more and more and more, and also pestering your friends and family to a point where they cannot stand hearing about all these black things. Then you go into, and this is where you go into frustration. Then once you start seeing that this is actually going on, you go into deep sorrow, most people. And then that can, or anger, or a mixture of all of them. And then it's a matter of getting out of that and getting back in balance, because you're totally useless if you're in depression or too much anger, or because you're not capable of doing anything good for the world if you're in that state. So it's a matter of finding your balance, even though this is a very fearful place to be. At the same time, this is an amazing time to be alive, because this is when it's happening. It's going down right now, you know. The dark and the light are meeting.
I need to cut you off. We only have a few seconds left here. Ole, thank you so much for coming on, man. And the website is lightonconspiracies.com. Lightonconspiracies.com. Ole, we're going to have you back on and finish out everything else you want to talk about. Thank you so much again. This is the Johnny English Show. Catch us next Sunday right here on Truth Frequency Radio.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago, when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.